Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Greetings, dear listener, and welcome to Poetry with Bron. Before I jump into sharing some more poetry with you, I just wanted to say how grateful I am at the encouragement and support I've received for the podcast. I'm very touched and humbled by the response so far. Thank you. I have a lot of plans for the future for the podcast, and I'm excited about the possibilities that lie ahead. And now, I'll start off tonight with a few of my own pieces of poetry. A Lesson by Bron Rauch Mitchell. It took me far too long to recognize that you are another of life's lessons, a lesson that I'm determined never to repeat again. You were an excellent teacher in the subject of heartbreak. An Addiction by Bron Rauch Mitchell. You were an addiction. I craved your touch, your taste on my tongue, your lips murmuring against my throat, your scent scorched into my skin. There is no cure, only abstinence. This hunger for you remains my lifelong companion. There is no reprieve from this madness, no hope, no salvation. There is only hunger. Coward by Bron Rauch Mitchell. I timidly spoke up, but my voice shook and my heart leaped into my throat. My hands trembled and my knees knocked together. I cowered, waiting for the inevitable punishment. But one person mouthed, "Thank you," and I realized that I wasn't just speaking up for myself. Demon Dance by Bron Rauch Mitchell. Clawing my way out of hell, being sucked back down, no chance for redemption, the demon takes control. Inch by inch, nails scraping the bloody walls, I drag myself up again towards the dim light. Grabbing my ankles and tugging hard, the demon pulls me down into a tight, squeezy embrace, kissing me deeply with its rotting mouth. Round and round we waltz. Some days it leads, some days I lead, neither willing to tip their king. Fear by Bron Rauch Mitchell. Trapped in my head, afraid to leave the house, my fortress, keeping life at bay. Yearning to break free, to move forward, but unable to, trapped by events of the past. Fear grips my heart with its icy talons, kissing me on the lips, sucking life and dreams out of me, leaving behind an empty shell. Neither alive nor dead, I slip through each day, ghost-like, fading into the background, a little more each day. Once I grabbed life with both hands, staring fear dead in the eye, laughing, defiant. A fading memory? A wistful dream? I can no longer tell. Hell is my kingdom by Bron Rauch Mitchell. She was dangerous. She dragged herself up from the very bowels of hell where they had imprisoned her. Bruised, battered, bleeding, she stubbornly crawled up, down, but not out for the count. Rather than fighting her way back up to the surface, she claimed hell as her own. This was her kingdom now. She had the throne, and she was changing the damned rules. And now, for a few poems from poets past, looking at some of our Aussie poets. No Message by Mary Hannay Foote. She heard the story of the end, each message, too, she heard, and there was one for every friend, for her alone, no word. And shall she bear a heavier heart, and deem his love was fled, because his soul from earth could part, leaving her name unsaid? No, no, though neither sign nor sound a parting thought expressed, not heedless past the homeward bound of her he loved the best. Of voyage perils bravely borne, he would not tell the tale of shattered planks and canvas torn, and war with wind and gale. He waited till the lighthouse star should rise against the sky, and from the mainland, looming far, the forest scents blow by. He hoped to tell, assurance sweet, that pain and grief were o'er, what blessings haste the soul to meet, ere yet within the door. Then one farewell he thought to speak, when all the rest were past, as in the parting hour we seek, the dearest hand the last. And while for this delaying but, to see heaven's opening gate, lo, it received him, and was shut, ere he could say, I wait. The Ghost of the Murderer's Hut by A. B. Patterson. My horse had been lamed in the foot, in the rocks at the back of the run, so I camped at the murderer's hut, at the place where the murder was done. The walls were all spattered with gore, a terrible symbol of guilt, and the bloodstains were fresh on the floor, where the blood of the victim was spilt. The wind hurried past with a shout, the thunderstorm doubled its din, as I shrank from the danger without, and recoiled from the horror within. When lo, at the window a shape, a creature of infinite dread, a thing with the face of an ape, and with eyes like the eyes of the dead, with the horns of a fiend, and a skin that was hairy as satyr or elf, and a long pointed beard on its chin. My God, 'twas the devil himself! In anguish I sank on the floor, with terror my features were stiff, till the thing gave a kind of a roar, ending up with a resonant biff. Then a cheer burst aloud from my throat, for the thing that my spirit did vex was naught but an elderly goat, just a goat of the masculine sex. When his master was killed he had fled, and now, by the dingoes bereft, the nannies were all of them dead, and only the billy was left. So we had brought him in on a stage to the house where, in style, he can strut, and he lives to a fragrant old age as the ghost of the murderer's hut. Mulga Bill's Bicycle by Banjo Patterson. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that caught the cycling craze. He turned away the good old horse that served him many days. He dressed himself in cycling clothes, resplendent to be seen. He'd hurried off to town and bought a shiny new machine. And as he wheeled it through the door with air of lordly pride, the grinning shop assistant said, "Excuse me, can you ride?" "See here, young man," said Mulga Bill, "from Walgett to the sea, from Conroy's Gap to Castlereagh, there's none can ride like me. I'm good all round at everything, as everybody knows. Although I'm not the one to talk, I hate a man that blows. But riding is my special gift, my chiefest, a sole delight. Just ask a wild duck, can it swim? a wildcat cannot fight. There's nothing clothed in hair or hide, or built of flesh or steel. There's nothing walks or jumps or runs on axle, hoof, or wheel. But what I'll sit, while hide will hold and girths and straps are tight, I'll ride this here two-wheeled concerned right straight away at sight. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that sought his own abode, that perched above the Dead Man's Creek beside the mountain road. He turned the cycle down the hill and mounted for the fray. But ere it'd gone a dozen yards, it bolted clean away. It left the track and through the trees just like a silver streak. It whistled down the awful slope towards the Dead Man's Creek. It shaved a stump by half an inch, it dodged a big white box. The very wallaroos in fright went scrambling up the rocks. The wombats hiding in their caves dug deeper underground, as Mulga Bill, as white as chalk, sat tight to every bound. It struck a stone and gave a spring that cleared a fallen tree. It raced beside a precipice as close could be. And then as Mulga Bill let out one last despairing shriek, it made a leap of 20 feet into the Dead Man's Creek. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that slowly swam ashore. He said, "I've had some narrow shaves and lively rides before. I've rode a wild bull around a yard to win a 5-pound bet. But this was the most awful ride that I've encountered yet. I'll give the two-wheeled outlaw best. It's shaken all my nerve to feel it whistle through the air and plunge and buck and swerve. It's safe at rest in Dead Man's Creek. We'll leave it lying still. A horse's back is good enough henceforth for Mulga Bill." Fairyland by Mrs. James Glennie Wilson. Do you remember that careless band riding o'er meadow and wet sea sand, one autumn day in a mist of sunshine, joyously seeking for fairyland? The wind in the treetops was scarcely heard, the streamlet repeated its one silver word, and far away, o'er the depths of woodland, floated the bell of the parson bird. Pale hoarfrost glittered in shady slips, where ferns were dipping their fingertips. From mossy branches a faint perfume breathed o'er honey clematis lips. At last we climbed to the ridge on high, ah, crystal vision, dreamland nigh. Far, far below us, the wide Pacific slumbered in azure from sky to sky. And cloud and shadow across the deep wavered or paused in enchanted sleep. And eastward the purple misted islets fretted the wave with terrace and steep. We looked on the tranquil glassy bay, on headlands sheeted in dazzling spray, and the whitening ribs of a wreck forlorn that for 20 years had wasted away. All was so calm and pure and fair, it seemed the hour of worship there, silent as where the great North Minister rises for ever, a visible prayer. Then we returned from the murmurous forest land and rode over shingle and silver sand. For so fair was the earth in the golden autumn that we sought no further for fairyland. Something by Francis William Lauderdale Adams. It is something in this darker dream demented to have wrestled with its pleasure and its pain. It is something to have sinned and have repented. It is something to have failed and tried again. It is something to have loved the brightest beauty with no hope of aught but silence for your vow. It is something to have tried to do your duty. It is something to be trying now, and in the silent solemn hours when your soul floats down the far faint flood of time, to think of Earth's lovers who are ours, of her saviors saving, suffering, sublime. And that you with these may be her lover, with these may save and suffer for her sake. It is joy to have lived, so to discover, you have a life you can give, and she can take. And that concludes another episode for today. Thank you for joining me for Poetry with Bron. We'll be back on Friday discussing elements of the craft, focusing on mental health and writing. There is still time to get your questions in for the show. Please send any questions you have to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.